Christmas came along in the beginning of the year, so we had to detour from this series. Now we're going to return to it once again and bring our attention to the issue of sloth or laziness. Reading Proverbs 6, beginning with verse 4, the Bible says, "Allow no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the snare of the fowler. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man." Let's bow our hearts and let's ask God's blessing to be with us this morning. Father, we thank you and we praise you for being with us here today. We thank you, God, for your goodness, your grace, your power, your love, and your might. God, as we look to your word this morning, we once again ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to fill this room. Continue to move upon our hearts today. Pray, God, you give words to this speaker, and I pray you give us all ears to hear what your Holy Spirit is saying. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. The Spirit-filled life. That is the life we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ have been called to live. And it's more than just having a thrill or a tingle. Although I have to be honest with you, I am excited and it's great to know that when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there are times that you're filled with a thrill or a tingle. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Just as long as that does not sum up the entirety of your spiritual relationship with Jesus. I think of the book of Galatians. I don't have the scripture before me, so please forgive me, but I think it's Galatians chapter 5, which says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." We've been filled with the Holy Spirit for a purpose. And that purpose is to be filled, obviously be filled with the Holy Spirit and to walk in the Spirit and in so doing demonstrate spiritual fruit in our lives. And we read about those fruits in the book of Galatians chapter 5. We know them as the fruit of the Spirit. And I neglected to put them on the PowerPoint this morning, but I'll read them to you. From verses 22 and 23. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are things that should be evident in us if we not only know Jesus, but we are full of His Spirit and we're walking in His Spirit. Now, even though the ministry of the Holy Spirit is a free work of grace, it is the gift of the Holy Spirit, we have a responsibility to walk in that gift. And that responsibility is living a life, as we described those many months ago when we began this series, a life that denies ourselves the things of the flesh, the things that draw us away from God, those things being sin, those things being selfishness, even nonsensical things, which you might talk a little bit about today. And living a life of discipline where we're communing on a regular basis with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you enter into a relationship with Him. And every relationship requires work. It requires you spend time with that person. And if you do not spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ, your relationship will suffer. If you don't spend time in prayer. And you know the great thing about Jesus and maintaining a relationship with Him, you don't have to pull out your phone to text Him. You don't have to get on a computer and email Him. You don't have to sit down and write a letter. You don't even have to look in some dusty old phone book for His phone number so you can call Him up. You can just speak to Him. You can just call upon Him. In fact, Psalm 91 says, when He calls upon me, I will hear Him. Thank God for that. So God has made it so easy for us to communicate with Him. But if we don't do it, our relationship with God suffers. We don't spend time in the Word. I know I've been talking about this recent weeks, but we forget about these things from time to time. If we don't spend time in the Word of God, which is more than just information about who God is and the kingdom, it's Jesus Himself. It's living and active. Our relationship will suffer. If we don't spend time, I know I'm preaching to the choir, so to speak, this morning. If we don't spend time with one another in fellowship, and not just Sunday morning for an hour, but touching base during the week with other believers, whether they're part of this church or not, our relationship will suffer, because Jesus Himself said, where two or three are gathered, what? There I am in their midst. That's the one great thing I loved about this past week, was getting together with different individuals during the week and praying together. That's the most intimate thing that you can do with another human being, is join together and pray, because God is just there in such a powerful way. Relationship takes work, but the fruits are worth it, of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And so often, believers settle for less. And instead of living in the Spirit, living in relationship with God, we live in the flesh. We accept Jesus as our Savior. We confess our sins, and we may even make some changes, but we refuse to allow the Holy Spirit to radically change the way that we live into the way that God has called us to live. And so instead of demonstrating the fruits of the Spirit, our lives are marked by the deeds of the flesh, which we've boiled down into the seven deadly sins, those being lust, gluttony, greed, envy, sloth, wrath, and pride. These are things that we're used to doing. This is a way that we're comfortable in living. But it's a way of living if we choose to live in the flesh. It's a way of living that will leave us empty and hollow and always wanting more, and not as effective for God as we could be or should be. And so what we've been talking about is the importance of avoiding the old way of living, according to the deeds of the flesh also listed out in Galatians chapter 5. Living and walking in step with the Spirit, so that the fruits of the Holy Spirit are evident in our lives. We've talked prior about lust, gluttony, greed, and envy. And this morning, I'd like to take time to talk about sloth or laziness. Because one of the things, and I think especially in our American culture, that the church is wrestling with is sloth. Because the thing that our culture is so centered around is pleasure and ease and enjoyment. Everything today is designed for what? Comfort. Which It's not necessarily a bad thing. I'm glad I'm comfortable. I don't want to be too comfortable when I'm driving because I don't want to fall asleep. But I'm glad that my car seats are comfortable. You know, the old seats that we had growing up, and you know, my first car I remember way, way back was an old Chevy Bel Air. And I think it hauled. I think it had a good engine. But you know, another story for now. But uncomfortable seats. But now we have the nice bucket seats where if you could, and I have, you could take a nap. You know, it's just, everything's comfortable. And the drive of our society is to what? Live a life of ease. In fact, if you watch any amount of television, I'm sure at some point they'll come an ad up on the television of how to invest your funds wisely so you can what? You can retire early and comfortably and live a life of ease. And you know, if you can do that, that's fine. But for some people, that's a sentence of death. Basically, stop living. Nothing wrong with retirement. But there is something wrong with the believer who adopts a mindset of comfort or of ease or retirement regarding their responsibility to the kingdom of God. What marks a person who is slothful? And of course, when I think of a slothful image, a person, this is the image that comes up in my mind. I think of a rather unkempt person sitting on a couch, hair kind of messed up, wearing his pajamas with food stains of various age on his shirt, plates on one side with forks and dried spaghetti sauce, and on the other side, a wrinkled up bag of potato chips, several, so to speak, about a 5 or 6 day beard, blank look on his face because he's been sitting in front of the television. You could see the flashing of the television in his face. And, you know, that's kind of the idea that we have of the slothful person. But one thing that we need to be on guard against is sloth is like any other, or laziness, is like any other sin in that in order for it to get a hold of the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, it often infiltrates a person's life in a more subtle way than the person who's got the soda cans and, you know, around his feet and so on, and this much dust on their furniture. In fact, I think there's some telltale signs we as believers can look for in our lives to determine whether or not we're people of sloth. Sloth is sneaky. It, like any other sin, it hides behind things. And one of the things that sloth hides behind is procrastination. Or good, and what procrastination is, there are good intentions. You ever hear that saying? The road to hell is paved with good intentions and so on and so forth. Well, sloth disguises itself or masquerades itself or hides itself in good intentions or procrastination or in the word tomorrow. Oh, I've got to do this. I've got to. Yeah, I'll think of some things I need to do in my house. I need to paint that window or paint that room, and I'll do it tomorrow or next week. Or I was going to do it today, but it's raining out, and I just can't concentrate in the rain. You know, tomorrow never comes. But persistent procrastination. May be a sign that you have given in to the deed of the flesh, which is lust, or sloth, excuse me. Lust was another day. Another telltale sign, and I get these signs from both being and working with teenagers, You get irritated if someone reminds you of something that you need to do. And more than one time in my house, and I won't say which, but I'll just go ahead and say both, I've reminded my children that they were supposed to do thus and so, and got the response, "I know, I know, I know." Not just one, not just two, but three. Don't want to do it, happy not to do it, don't want to be reminded. And if I have to exert effort, it makes me upset because I've got an issue with laziness. Clutter is also something that is a sign that someone might have an issue with sloth. Don't put anything away. And this could be not just physically in papers and tools and things of that nature that might be lying around your home, but also your mind and your schedule, your thoughts. Clutter is a sign of laziness. And then this is one that I find myself, if we're going to do confession time, I find myself, find in my life, and it's a good indicator that I need to make some changes, rushing around the last minute. I know I've got to do this thing, and I have a deadline, and the deadline is 6 o'clock. And so at 5:55, I'm scrambling around like nothing, you know, trying to get ready, trying to get this thing done. Why? Because I'm lazy. I didn't do anything. I was busy being slothful. Which kind of doesn't make sense, but you know what I mean. But we cannot give in to sloth. The devil might say it's a form of peace. You know, you don't have, don't work so hard. Don't worry about it. Live a life of ease. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we may die. That's Satan. It's a deed of the flesh. We cannot live that way. Because there is so much that needs to be done, and so many people depend upon those things being done. You and I as believers, regarding the kingdom, more important than painting your garage or doing whatever other thing that you need to do. We all need to be active in our work for the kingdom of God because our hearts depend upon it. You depend upon, and your soul depends upon, not giving in to sloth or laziness. Regarding your relationship with Jesus and regarding the calling that's upon your life. Your family depends upon you being someone who is spiritually industrious. They are dependent upon you. And may I say, and I'm saying this to myself as a husband and a father, this especially is true for you, Dad. It's important for our church. Is a reason for this church being here. And it's not just to sit here. It's to affect this world, this community and world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been called the salt of the earth. We've been called the light of the world. But we're not salt and light if we give in to sloth. And as such, our community is depending upon us as well. We're encouraged in Scripture to be people who are spiritually industrious. Reading the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 20, the Apostle Paul writes, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. sing and make music in your heart, always giving thanks to God, the Father of everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does that verse say? Say, don't give in to sloth. Work at the kingdom. You need it. And others need it as well, and you will please the Father who is in heaven. In fact, this is something that is not only taught by the Apostle Paul, it was something practiced by the Lord Jesus Christ and practiced at a very, very young age. The Bible telling us in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 49, Jesus lingered at the temple after his parents left the city of Jerusalem, had to go back and find him, said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" Or as the King James Version translates, "had to be about my Father's business." We have to make most of every opportunity. We have to be about the Father's business. We can, as the church, give in to sloth. Now, having said that, one thing that sloth is not is burnout from overwork. And I do need to say that. Because there are some people who, for whatever reason, are inactive when it comes to the kingdom of God. And then there are some people who are on the opposite end of the spectrum. They are too active for the kingdom of God at the expense of their own soul. And so I think it's very important that when we talk about this, that we caution people not to overdo it, because you can. And you'll end up bringing ruin to yourself or making difficulty for yourself spiritually because you're just doing too much. Jesus had to sleep. Jesus had to get alone with the Father and pray. Jesus worked hard, but he also rested. So we need to understand that sloth is not overwork. Mark chapter 7, verse 37, the Bible tells us that when people looked at what Jesus did, they said, "He has done everything well. And God has called us not only to do, but do it well." But our goal is not to do everything. Our goal as believers is to find out, and as you open up your heart before the Lord Jesus Christ, and as you walk in step with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will let you know what you should be doing in the kingdom of God. Those things are often referred to in Scripture as burdens. Not a bad burden, where you feel bad about yourself, not a heavy burden where you're all tearful. Well, you might be tearful, but in a good way. Not a heavy burden that you can't bear up, a light burden. But a burden nonetheless, something you can't get away from. Something that makes you miserable unless you do it. Every one of us has some kind of calling or burden upon their life, and you don't know what it is until you open up your heart to the Holy Spirit. I can't tell it to you. You can't find it in a book, only God knows. But there'll be times where I or someone else might try to put on you an additional burden that is too much for you. If you have the burden from the Lord or the calling from God, and then you take on this and that and this because maybe no one's doing it, or maybe you're just one of those people who feel bad about everything, and may God set you free from that. Then you end up, you don't seem to have time for anything, including for the most important things in your life, which we'll talk about in a little bit. You get angry, you get frustrated, and then you end up not doing anything and feeling miserable about yourself, about the work of the ministry. That's not what God has called you to do. So please, 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 in talking about sloth, don't think you have to do everything. Just do what God has called you to do. That will be challenging enough. But there are reasons, very important reasons. I touched on them earlier, but let me revisit them once again, that we must work, that we must be spiritually industrious. First reason is that we only have a short amount of time to do what needs to be done. There are deadlines. Jesus puts it this way in John's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 4. As long as it is day, we must do the work of Him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. What's that? It's saying a number of things, but what it's saying is there's only a point, an appointed time that we can work, and then we can't work anymore. And it's so much better and easier, and you will be so much happier if you start earlier in the day than 5 minutes before sundown. For one thing, life is short. I can't believe the change in this congregation over these past 11 plus years that I've been here. You know, it would have been, you know, I'm thinking of all, especially the youth group and all the young people that we had. You know, the kids who are in there now were like really small, and some were like babies, just barely born. Now others had gone, you know, oh, I wish they just kind of stayed there. We just had this, you know. It's just so much fun. Add more kids, don't get me wrong. And, you know, just have a great, we'd have probably a youth group of about 50 kids. It'd be awesome. But they're gone now. They're out in the world. They've gone to college. They've gotten married. They've gotten jobs. I didn't have a lifetime as a pastor who was working with the youth to pour into their lives. So I couldn't say, well, we'll do, you know, when the young man who was doing youth, when he left about a year or so after I got here, I didn't have the luxury to say, well, maybe next year or the year after, we'll do youth group. Because now is the opportunity. Life is short. Life is especially short for adults. Time goes by very, very quickly. We need to take opportunity. We need to make the most of every opportunity. And Jesus is coming back. I know a lot of people disagree as far as how Jesus is going to come back. There's some discussion in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me tell you, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is very clear about how Jesus will come back. It will be in the clouds with the sound of the trumpet. And that no man knows. In the Gospels, Jesus says, no man knows the day or the hour the Son of Man shall return, only the Father in heaven. And that when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, it will be like a thief in the night. It will come suddenly. So it's not a matter of, okay, we know this year, July 13th, 2015, it's going to be Jesus. All right, I got several months before I can, you know, I really need to make a push for this person's soul. Or I need to fulfill whatever God has called me to do. And thirdly, this is something we prayed about the other night. Opportunities are few and precious that we have to share this gospel. And let me tell you, I'm not saying that in sharing the gospel or sharing a word of encouragement, because we're called not only to spread the gospel, but to encourage one another in our faith. I'm not saying anytime we do that, it's in vain. But there are times that people are more receptive. You know, the Holy Spirit's been working on them. They're more receptive and more open to the gospel or to some ministry of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes God just kind of puts it right in front of us. You know, one of those Philippian jailer things, what must I do to be saved? Yeah, I don't want to do this right now. It's kind of late. I want to go get something to eat. I'll talk to him later. You might not have that opportunity later, that they're open to the gospel, or open to for prayer, or open for some kind of ministry. You can't let sloth do that. You might not have that opportunity once again. You've got to jump in. When that door's open, you've got to walk through it. You can't let sloth keep us from that. Secondly, we need to be spiritually industrious to keep our spirit strong. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 through 11 says, "There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience." How many love Saturdays or whatever day you have off? You can sleep in a little. You don't have to get up at the crack of dawn. How many like vacation? You got a whole week. You don't have to. Two hands. There's a vacation coming. Bless God. Eternal rest. Where we'll no longer have to work to build the kingdom of God. It's coming. But not now. And yes, there is a lot to do, but it's not only important that we're industrious so that people will be encouraged and people will find Jesus, but that our spiritual relationship with God will remain active. You know, I remember when I was in Pennsylvania, I was my first position, a youth pastor, and there was a couple in our church, an older couple. And actually, he didn't really come, but his wife did. She was very, very faithful. And he retired from work, and he retired from his job to his lazy boy in his living room. And he spent all day basically there, you know, reading the paper, doing crosswords, watching television, never got up from that chair, and did that for a number of months, if not a year or so after his retirement. And then one day, he had to change the air conditioner in his window. I don't know if it had gone bad or he just needed to take it out. And he got up and did that and suffered a massive heart attack. He survived. And God gave him, and he wasn't serving God, God gave him an opportunity. But because he had been sedentary for so long, once he had to exert himself, his body had got to the point where it just got so weak that he suffered this heart attack. That can happen to us, because a very important part of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and it's staying powerful and it's staying active is understanding that we have a purpose in the kingdom. It matters what we do. We matter to God. And what we do matters for God. It gives me more of, yes, God is enough, but it gives me more of a reason to serve Him and to know Him. Because I have ownership in the kingdom. One reason some people, sit in their lazy boy chair after they retire is they don't think they have purpose anymore. I'm not needed anymore. We can't allow sloth to rob us of that very important dynamic of our relationship with Jesus Christ, in that we have purpose. Because no matter how old you are, no matter what circumstances you have, God has something for you to do for His kingdom. You are a person of purpose. Thirdly, we must work to build and not only to build, but to maintain the kingdom of God. We bought a new car, a little Focus. We bought it new. And there was a reason I bought it new. because I didn't want to worry about repairs. And I figured, well, and if there were any repairs, it was covered under warranty. It probably wouldn't be too many. I had one, I think. But I know, since this year, excuse me, this year is year three, that I'll be having some repairs, because that's just part of it. In my house is a list of things that we've done and have upgraded or changed. And there's another list that we're working on, and I know once I've checked all those things off and have done all those things, the painting, the replacing, the repairing, the redoing, if I'm still there and haven't moved into someplace different, that list is going to start all over. I mow the lawn. It's great, but I know, especially if we have rain, I'm going to have to mow it again. And so it is with our relationship with God. So it is with God moving in our home. So it is with God moving in the church. So it is with the kingdom of God in the community. If we are not working at it, it will fall apart. Proverbs 24... I guess I reached that age where my voice is changing. Came a little late for me, I guess. Proverbs 24, verses 30 through 34. I went past the field of the sluggard, past the vineyard of the man who lacks judgment. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. I applied my heart to what I observed, and learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. Now, it's talking about the sluggard and how his house is basically falling apart, and to a certain extent that's true. But more importantly, the person who has given in to that deed of the flesh of sloth, it's not only their house that's fallen apart, it's their spiritual walk with Jesus that's broken down. It's their family that spiritually is broken down. Are families perfect if they know Jesus? No. But let me tell you, you ensure disaster in your home if you're not spiritually working at it in your home. The ministry of the church breaks down if we give in to sloth, and the witness in the community does as well. It's important that we maintain an industrious spirit as relates to our relationship with God. And lastly, slothful people are not happy. Instead of having a life of peace and joy, which is the life that God has provided for us in Jesus, it's a life of guilt and shame. I've done a lot of service work. And, the Hoarders, the television program, Hoarders, I've seen a lot of homes like that. And let me tell you, none of those people were proud. You could tell. I never said anything, never would. I'm not their judge. But I never met any person whose house just fell apart like that who was proud about that. Their lives were full of shame. And so it is with the heart of a life of a person who gives into sloth. But bless God, sloth can be overcome. Amen. Praise Jesus. With God, all things are possible. Let me share with you three things I think we need to know from Scripture that will help us to live above a slothful spirit. Number one, we need to be people who get proper rest. One reason people are slothful is just because they're exhausted. You know, a person who works 15 hours a day comes home and then has to take care of kids and then do the homework and cook and then clean up after supper. And then, you know, they've got all these different things. They're going to be exhausted. They're not going to want to do that. We need to get proper rest if we're going to be able we're going to have the strength to do what we've been called to do. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. Wonderful scripture that addresses this. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Let me tell you, living for Jesus is strenuous work. It's hard. Don't deceive yourself. It's hard to live for God. It's hard to serve God. It's hard to labor for God. You got to fight yourself, and you got to fight the enemy sometimes to do it. And if you do not take proper care of yourself by resting in Jesus, you'll wear yourself out. Some people rest, but don't rest properly. When I say rest, don't rest like the world. What does the world do? They don't do anything. They just kind of indulge whatever they want to do. Let me tell you, the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ understands when it's time to rest is to take a break from what we do, but not take a break from He who gives the strength, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And to properly rest, to rest in God, means to just take some time to surround yourself with Jesus in praise, worship, in prayers, not intercessions. Just pouring your heart out before God, allowing God to speak to you, and reading His Word, and allowing the Word of God to give you strength. Very, very important. And let me tell you, friend, do not feel guilty about resting in God. Do not feel guilty about taking a break from things. Some of you even need to, and I know it's difficult, especially if you have children, but some of you even need to take a break from your family sometimes. And that's okay. That's okay. In the long run, it will benefit them and you. Another reason why, or another way that we can overcome sloth is by avoiding foolishness. Because Scripture equates sloth with foolishness. From our text, Proverbs 6:6, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, the scripture that speaks to being spiritually industrious. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but wise. There's so much today. There's always been foolishness. There's always people who can engage, or there's always been foolish behavior that we could engage in, idleness. But it's even more so now. You know, and I'm guilty of this. How many, you know, have gotten online, and maybe you've gotten on Facebook, or you've gotten on YouTube, or you've gotten on this, and next thing you know, an hour or so has gone by, and for some even longer. And what have you accomplished? Absolutely nothing. You just kind of wasted your time. And, you know, as just one example, we can waste our time doing so much. Fools are not industrious. They spend their time doing empty things. Avoid empty things in your life. That doesn't mean if I catch you watching a YouTube video on Facebook, I'll just don't spend an afternoon on those things. Thirdly, allow the Holy Spirit of God to stir you up. Hallelujah. It happens. I'm not sharing with you this morning as someone who's always been working hard and has never felt like just... I'm there. I'm with you. And in the world, and people do this in the world, they find ways to self-motivate themselves. How much easier should it be for us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, who are full of the Holy Spirit, to be motivated to work for the kingdom of God, work for our families, work for our souls, work for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, work for our community. Get fired up once again to put all of our heart into it. Paul puts it this way in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. If you're struggling with sloth, open up your heart to the ministry of the Holy Spirit and ask God's Holy Spirit to stir you up again, because that's God's good pleasure in your life. And if you do so, He'll answer your prayer, He'll answer your call, and He'll stir you up and give you the strength and the desire, the will and the passion to give all you got to do what God has called you to do. Praise God. I'd like to ask our musicians to come, and we're going to stand and sing a chorus. And if you would stand with me and sing a chorus in closing. We've talked about a lot of things here today. Let me tell you, as your pastor, I know what's going on with many of you who are here today. And I suspect maybe some of you who aren't here. And a lot of you who are here today are just tired. You've been, and I have been so blessed, and our church has been so blessed. Your families have been blessed. A lot of you have been working very hard, and for some, this message has cut to the heart, and you're feeling bad because your hand hasn't been on the plow as it once has, or maybe the way you think it should have been. But the reason is you're just tired. You're exhausted. This morning, they're going to lead in a chorus called Make Me Broken. And I find when we're broken before God, that's when God comes in and heals. Let's open up our hearts today. Let's just ask God to reinvigorate us and give us strength once again. There's a lot of things that move us to a place of indifference or sloth, but I think the key one, if I'm being honest with you as your pastor today, is just that there are a lot of tired people who are out there and who need a recharge or a refreshment of your spirit. Let's open our hearts together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to move upon us and fill us fresh and new once again. God, listen, God sees your heart and He sees the emptiness. And He's actually moved and broken over that. He wants to fill you today. Would you open up your heart? Let's sing together. Jesus.